This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The Berlin Wall came down 30 years ago Saturday. We've been reporting on the wild amount of money Germany opted to spend to unite East and West, the equivalent of $30,000 per person over 30 years. Now, what if the U.S. spent that kind of money to reunite an economically divided America? That's maybe $10 trillion. Experts say gaps between booming and lagging areas are set to get worse in the U.S., given technology. The McKinsey Global Institute has mapped this out across more than 300 cities and 3,000 counties as part of a future of work forecast this year. Katie George is a senior partner at McKinsey. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the geography of opportunity. Do you see a danger that many places in America get left behind as the workplace changes over the next few years and decades?
We definitely see that there's going to be an increasing separation between winners and losers geographically across the United States, unless there's interventions to change that.
This is higher resolution analysis than saying rural versus urban.
That's right. It's one of the things that's most interesting is to see how complex this story is, in that there are cities that have a lot of momentum, and there are also cities that are trailing. And similarly, on the rural side, you see some rural areas that have found a way to continue to modernize the skill sets of their local workforces.
Talk a little bit more about in the trailing places. Like, what's wrong there?
I think there are a couple of things that are challenges in the trailing places. One of the things that we see in all geographies is that there's going to be a tremendous change in the kind of work that needs to get done. People will need to use new skills. They will need to be able to use digital in a new way, to use data in a new way. And in some of the trailing cities and in some of the trailing rural areas, you see that the workforce is not prepared for that.
I'm a little worried looking at the report about people who are office workers and also people who are in food preparation and, from our own reporting, people in retail. Those didn't look like huge areas of job growth.
What our analysis looked at was basically if you look at the tasks that the job does, how often are those tasks the kind of repeatable tasks that could be easily automated? So are many lawyers' jobs, by the way. So it's not just about high wage versus low wage. And then, of course, the sector I most focus on, which is manufacturing, has a lot of roles that are going to be most impacted.
Let's talk about that. What has to be done to fuel jobs that are oriented toward making things?
As we've studied the most advanced manufacturing facilities around the world, one of the things we see is that they're not fully automating production with robotics. They're using robots in really smart ways, but they're actually augmenting the workers.
Where have you seen some places that are effectively doing that?
We found 26 sites to date that really stand out at being able to adopt these technologies in a way that really move the needle. But they are clustered in Europe and in Asia.
Not so many in the United States on that list of 26?
So far, we have found two of the 26 that are in the United States.
There may be people who hear this and say, we'd like to change that. Is this a problem that's amenable to government spending?
This problem is amenable to both government and private sector spending. Certainly, reskilling the workforce is key. We also know that some parts of the sector have been slow to invest in new technologies, in part because it's hard to actually invest in these new technologies in a way that creates real returns in the near term. And so some of the research we're doing is trying to figure out what is the recipe for investing in new technology and getting it to pay off. And we think we have some insights there.